So please turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 12 to 20. It's on page 1523. And let's read these in unison. So all of us together, if you're able, please stand. Let's read these in unison from the New International Version, if you have it there. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him, "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one, but if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Please remain standing and let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are God with us. But you didn't leave us alone. You are God with us now. And so God, would you speak to us now through your Spirit, who is within us, who love and know you, who is among us and displaying the presence of God in a way, when we're together, that's greater than when we're apart. Would you enlighten the words of Scripture, of your word, that we may see, that we may hear you and what you have to say to us? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So there's a man that told me not long ago that his mother was getting close to the end of her time on earth. He said, you know, she lived in the good years. She had been born just before the end of the Second World War. You know, And he said, you know, really, she's lived in some good years. And what he seemed to be implying was that maybe the good years are ending. We have a man in Russia now accused of war crimes. We have a nation that doesn't seem to be able to get along over anything. We have immorality that's spreading everywhere, and people are confused over what is right and wrong. And it just seems like a time of great confusion and darkness. It's sort of like when you're in the middle of a storm, you know, in your car, and you're trying to get down the road, and you find out, oh no, I'm missing a headlight. And the storm, it's just pummeling down, and it's dark, and you're just hoping that you're going to get through. Well, it was that way in Israel. One of the darkest things that was going on was the occupation of Israel by Rome. The Roman Empire had taken over. They were running the country. They didn't have a choice. And one of the most dastardly things they did was to build what they called the Antonia Fortress, just looking over the edge of the temple courtyard. Wouldn't you just love that? You came with your family, with your friends, to worship for one of the great festivals. You finally got up to Jerusalem, and there, up over the corner, is the Roman government looking over and saying, yeah, we are watching every move that you make, and you better be good. It was to that time that Jesus came. It was in those days that the early church began, and that John wrote back to God's people. And he said, let me tell you what Jesus was like. He said, the world could not be filled with all the books that would be written about what Jesus did. But I have written these things so that you would know that he is the Son of God, that he is the one in charge, and that through him that you can have life. And as he described our Lord Jesus, there were seven things that Jesus said about himself, seven statements that began with, I am, undoubtedly referring back to the Old Testament saying that said that where God said, I am that I am. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, as we'll look at this morning, I am the light of the world. I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. In what we'll look at next week, skip ahead to, I'm the resurrection and the life. And I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. And I am the true vine in John chapter 15. I heard an early adopter of social media, a person that was involved in church ministry, and started experimenting in his church with a pastor who became very famous and went out the deep end. He said, you know, here's what we found out, is that you got the most interest, you got the most hits by the most outrageous things that were said. And that's the world that we live in, where people are competing to say things that are more outrageous than someone else, so they get more hits and they might pocket some more in their pocket, or get more in their pocket, or in a church they might get more people in their services. But it's beyond that. It's beyond social media. It's just in our world. People competing to be angry at each other and to slap somebody else harder in the face. And it happens nationally, it happens locally, it happens in between. It's a dark, dark time. It's a time when we need to be able to see some light. The first couple of verses here, Jesus proclaims himself to be a light that shines forever. What was going on was they were, if you look back a couple of chapters, you see that they were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. The Jews would call it the Feast of Sukkoth. And that feast, it took place back in that whole temple area in the courtyard. And there were a bunch of things that happened. They called it the Feast of Tabernacles, because a tabernacle represented, it was like a tent. And so it was kind of like a big camp out. And so they all over town and all over the city of Jerusalem, and they would build tabernacles, or another name for this is the Feast of Booths. They would put up like little structures of sticks and leaves and whatnot. And basically, sometimes in a yard, sometimes in a public place, it was like a big camp out. And it was a big festival. It lasted a whole week. And they did the booths, or the tabernacles, the tents, to remember that God had tented with them. He had lived with them and among them in the desert, or traditionally what we call the wilderness, after when they left when they left Egypt in the Exodus and moved on to the promised land. And the Lord was with them during that time. And so that's why they did this for a whole week, as the Lord had commanded them. But then also they had a water ceremony. And that's when Jesus stood up and in chapter 7 and he said, if anybody is thirsty, he said, let them come to me and I'll give them something to drink that where they'll never thirst again. And there'll be rivers of water flowing out to them that can give refreshment and help to others. But then they had something at nighttime. They would set up 4 torches in the temple yard. Great big torches, as tall as the walls that surrounded it. And at nighttime, they'd get a couple of nimble priests, young priests, and they'd climb up the torches and they'd light the torches, and then everybody would sing and they would dance. Again, this is a national festival. They would sing and they would dance all night long. And they did that for a whole week. Well, it's hard to think of a parallel for us, but you think of maybe, say, the end of the 4th of July and the lights are going out and, you know, it's the last night of the feast. Maybe the torches were starting to flicker just a little bit. It's then that Jesus stood up with the Antonia fortress up above them. And he shouted, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. These were people who had followed, they knew the story of Scripture. And they knew how things had started very badly. It started where the world was dark and void. But then the Lord said, let there be light. And then how we had rebelled and everything was darkness. And then there were all of those years when we as human beings just demonstrated that we had these dark, dark hearts. And Jesus, just a little bit before this, had spoken to a man who came to him at night, a man named Nicodemus, who was a religious professional, but only dared come to him at night and said, what is going on with you? And one of the things that Jesus talked about was the darkness of our hearts. He said, you human beings, you love it in the dark. Adam and Eve went and they hid in the dark until their darkness was exposed. He said, you have done that for centuries. And John wrote at the beginning of this book, he said, I am in him, in this one that came, in the Word made flesh, was light, and this light was the life of humanity. And this light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There's nothing that can put out this light of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, whoever follows me, he says, will never walk in darkness. You'll never walk in darkness if you follow me. So our Lord, at the beginning of creation, turned on the lights. And throughout human history, until he came and beyond, he has turned on the light. In the wilderness, as they were wandering around, not knowing where they were, he turned on the light. He sent them fire during the day that shone and a fire at night to show them their way through the wilderness. David wrote, you're the light on my path. And Jesus said, you're looking at the light. He said, if you'll follow me, he said, you'll never walk in the darkness. And for those who are listening to him, making this claim at the end of their festival, it was outrageous. One of the Old Testament or one of the New Testament scholars, one of the greats of our time, said Jesus was at least claiming to be God here? Who else could say that he was the light of life? You see, God, in the person of Jesus, is the one that makes sense of life as we're moving through life and we encounter the darkness of our world. It's the darkness that is one of the hardest things to make sense of. How is it that these things could happen in our day? How is it that these things could happen in our own neighborhoods? How is it that these things could have happened in the previous days of human history? And how do we know that things are ever going to get better? The way that we know is through our Lord Jesus and his coming to this planet. He is the one that makes sense of the story. He is the one that makes sense of life. We are not, life is not just about us. We're here for a short time, but things began long before we got here, and they will continue long after we live. And the light that we experience, that we know in our lives now, is something that will get brighter and brighter and brighter, and that will never be put out for all of eternity. It makes sense as people yell, holler, and scream in our world, in public places, on the internet, on television, on the radio, in the newspapers. Anybody remember what a newspaper was? You know, they're now digital. But I mean, people holler and scream, and they've got all of these kind of crazy ideas, and we listen to them, and we try. But it's only Jesus is the only one that makes sense of what's going on. As we look at what's going on compared to his story, that he is in charge and he's going to get us home. I don't know about you, but if I'm in a storm and I'm driving through that storm, if it's really bad, if the rain or the snow is just pummeling down, then I say, hey, can we just be quiet? Flip off the radio. Everybody be quiet. And I'm focusing on that road right in front of me. I've got to see the light. I've got to see where it's going. If I'm going to figure out where the middle of that road is and get home and get safely, to my garage. And that's the way that it is for us who follow Jesus. We need to push it all away, shut everything off, and focus on him. That's why these spiritual practices that we're working on this year are so very important. And so our world is screaming in our ears, listen to me, here's why things are the... No, we need to be quiet. It's hard to find a place to be quiet. We need to get alone. You know, it might mean that we go for a ride somewhere. It might mean we go for a walk somewhere. It might mean that we take a coffee break somewhere. It might mean that we have lunch alone. It might mean that we go up to our bedroom. But we got to get alone so that we can spend time with the light. And I mean capital L light. I don't mean the light within. I mean, unless you're talking about Jesus, I'm talking about Jesus. And then it needs to be quiet. And depending on what stage of life we're in, it may or may not be hard to find a quiet place. In some cases, it might mean just shutting things off. In some cases, it means escaping somewhere. But being quiet before the Lord and just listening to him. These are disciplines of not doing things. One that we're talking about this month is one of fasting. That might mean fasting from our phones. I have a friend who has a large family and a lot of phones. And they would turn off their phones and on all the internet for what they call the equivalent of the Sabbath. So they'd shut it off. I think it was Friday when the sun went down. This is like the Jewish Sabbath. And shut them off until Saturday night. the end of the Jewish Sabbath. It could be any time. But I mean, for them, it was just a great exercise for them. And they were a media family. It was really a good exercise. They were fasting from media. We can fast from food or different kinds of food. If we stuff our faces, and I confess that's, I'm tempted to do that. I'm to do that. But sometimes it's better to not do something that we want to do, so that we can do something that we do want to do. And what we're doing is training ourselves in godliness, and we're focusing on the light. You see, when we put aside these other things, it's then that we can spend time with Jesus. It's then that we can spend time in His Word. It's then that maybe we can turn on some positive music, maybe even some Christian music, or we can read some extra things in our Bible, or maybe something in our Bible, or pull out a hymn book, or listen to a good speaker, or do something. And I don't mean a speaker that's talking about something or somebody other than Jesus. If you hear a Christian speaker that calls himself a speaker and all they're talking about is politics, forgive me, friends. Okay, some of you are going to hate me for this. Turn them off and find one that's talking about Jesus. Okay, you need, I need, we don't need all this other stuff. We need Jesus is what we need. We got to turn off the other stuff, get away from the darkness, get onto the light, and focus on Him. And it's then that we can have hope. It's Jesus that's going to be here forever. It's the light of Christ that we need. But how do we know that Jesus is who He says He was? What an outrageous claim to say that of all of the great thinkers, all of the great people of history, that He is the light, that He shows us the way home, that He makes sense of life. Well, it was a shared light that Jesus was talking about. He said that there was legal testimony to back this up. Now, He said this is an unusual situation. He said, I am my own witness. And they said, well, how can you be your own witness? He said, well, there are two witnesses, but you've got to understand there are only two of us that were there. I was there, and my Father was there. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you believe in me, if you listen to me, then you're listening to the Father. But none of this is going to fit in the narrow box of a human courtroom. You see, the witness that I'm giving and that my Father is giving is one of a kind. There is nobody else like me. There is nobody else. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you look at me, you'll know who God is like because I came from heaven to declare the Father to you. This is why we worship Jesus. This is why when we look at Jesus, and this is why it's so good to spend time studying Jesus, spend time in the Gospels, to go to the Gospels, to look at Jesus' life. Because it's through Jesus that we see God. That's why we worship in Jesus' name. That's why we pray to Jesus. Because Jesus is the one. He's exactly like the Father. The Father sent Him to us. And that's why we worship Him. That's why we follow Him. And in fact, Jesus is the one who is in control of the light. Jesus is the one that turns the lights on and helps us to see clearly. You see, what happened is here Jesus was at a public festival. He stood up and everybody, I mean, anybody could have seized Him. But He just walked out. And the reason was, John writes, is because His hour had not yet come. It wasn't His time. But we're not talking about a fateful thing. We're talking about he was in control, unlike any of us. He was in control of his time, in control of his life and of his death and of his resurrection, because Jesus is God. And so it wasn't long after this that Jesus in chapter 12 would predict his death. But the wonderful thing is that then in chapters 13 to 20, then he goes on and he sees how upset his disciples are. And his disciples representing us, because to them everything seemed dark at that point. But it's then in those beautiful chapters 13 to 20, that then he talks about his love for them. He says, I love you, I care for you. He prays for them and for us that they would be united. And he says, oh, and he says, didn't you know it's going to be better if I leave? And they're saying, oh, no, no, no. He says, no, it's going to be better. Because right now, he says, if I go over to Capernaum, if you don't go with me, you're not with me. But he says, when I leave, when I go back to my Father in heaven, I'm sending my Spirit. And what that means is that I can be with you in Capernaum. I can be with you in Jerusalem. I can be with you in Helam, Pennsylvania, all at the same time, because my Spirit is within you and will be shining within you forever. Well, then he was crucified and he was buried and he rose again, as we'll celebrate next weekend. But the wonderful thing is that then what he said, he concludes this gospel by calling us to care for one another, to care for his sheep, to care for others whom he will call into his fold until that day when he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, what happened was as the lights in Jerusalem were dimming, the King of Light flipped on an eternal generator that will never, ever be dark. And then he invited us to plug in to the generator by his Spirit, as he would make us a light of the world which cannot be hidden. You know, sometimes you get the power go off, not as much, at least in my experience, as it used to. In the old days, you'd look for a flashlight. Some of us still have flashlights, and these days you pull out a phone, say, who's got the nearest phone? But it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's a flashlight or if it's a phone. You're looking for somebody that's got some light. And it might be a little kid. It might be a senior. It might be somebody in between. But once somebody's got one light, then they can walk around the house or the apartment and they can say, okay, where's your light? Can we get a light going for you? Can we get another light going for you? Oh, here's a candle. Let's light that for you. And pretty soon you've got light throughout the house. What Jesus has done for us is Jesus has come to us as the light of the world. And Jesus lives, comes to us, and he lights up our lives so that we can move throughout a dark world and share his light with others, so that they can see, and so that another can see, and so that another can see, and so that our world is never completely bright now, but it's much brighter than it would be, because the people of God are shining their lights in Helam and in Wrightsville and York and throughout all of the world, because Jesus is living within us and Jesus is shining his light everywhere. There was a missionary by the name of Milne. See if I can do this one. Okay. And he felt called by God to go to Australia, to some islands. It's weird. over here. There's Australia. And there's some little islands over there that he went to. And the missionaries there in those days, they would pack their own, they would make their own coffins and bring them along because they knew that they wouldn't return. And this was an area that was very dark. And he went there and invested his lifetime in sharing Jesus and in shining the light in that area. And here's what they wrote when he left. They said when he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. I wonder where God has called you to. Maybe it's an office, maybe a factory, maybe a neighborhood, maybe a family. Maybe a place and you say, man, it's so dark here. And maybe that's true. But I wonder what it would be like when you leave. Will Christ shine so in and through you that when you leave, they'll say, there's no darkness at all. Let's go to the light. Let's ask him to fill us with himself and to be so full of Jesus by focusing on the light that the love of Christ might overflow from our lives, that the peace of Christ would be the kind of peace that nobody can understand, as Paul wrote, that the joy of Christ would just be overflowing from our faces, that the patience of Jesus with us might be amazing patience that we would have with all the difficulties in our world. So that when we shine a light in an area where there is no light, that when we leave and Jesus calls us home or when Jesus come back, they might say, there's no more any darkness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you came. Thank you for showing us what the Father is like. Thank you for shining your light in a very, very dark time. Now, Lord, forgive us for thinking the light has gone out. Forgive us for letting the light go out in our lives. Forgive us, Lord, for focusing on other fake lives, other lights that just don't make any sense and don't light anything up. Jesus, may we focus on you. And may others see you in us and through us, wherever you have called us today, and in and through others who love you too. For it's in the name of Jesus, the light of the world, that we pray. Amen.